Hello and welcome. You are listening to the Customer Experience Podcast. Today, join Emma Dark, Chief Customer Experience Officer, in episode 4 with our guest Amy Farrer on the jump from telco to techco. Amy Farrer is the Digital Capability and Planning Director at BT, where her responsibilities include mobilising squads to support the consumer strategy, developing BT's digital capability with a focus on agile ways of working, and continuing to put customers at the heart of BT's mission statement. In today's episode, Amy and Emma talk about the importance of the customer sitting within every department and how Amy is a champion of continuous improvement in BT, delivering customer and business value quickly and sustainably. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Amy, welcome to the Customer Experience Podcast. Really excited to have you as my guest today. How are you doing?
I'm really well, thank you, Emma. It's a real privilege to get to come on.
Thank you. Thanks for joining me. So our topic today is centered around telco to techco. And this was really inspired after our last chat, actually, because it really made me reflect on the journey that BT have been on and continue to go on in terms of digitalization. And actually, that shift is really apparent amongst, you know, telecom heritage companies. So the firms really looking to pivot from just being a telco organization to actually becoming a digital services provider. Really kind of reflecting that digital transformation, you know, is everywhere really, and it's happening and essential across, you know, operations and customer experience. So I thought, firstly, if you can bring to life for the listeners this afternoon a bit more about your current role within BT, which is fairly new, isn't it? So what are your areas of focus? And, you know, within that focus, how does customer get prioritised?
Yeah, so it is very new. So I lead our agile capability and delivery team. I started off in consumer digital, and our team has just moved into a new digital technology unit. So we've now got an expanded remit. And really, my team was set up to help enable our whole area to move to agile ways of working and to completely transform the way that we work, how we think, really embed things like user-centered design, thinking about product over project, and help embed a build, measure, learn approach across the team. So it's a role that never existed anywhere else previous, and I was quite honoured to get to cut my teeth on it. But I've been doing it now for 2 years in consumer digital, and we've just, as I said, moved into this new, bigger digital unit.
Fantastic. And customer, where does the customer feature as part of that?
Yeah, so customer is integral to how we want to transform. When we think about agile ways of working, how you solve a problem for the customer iteratively and learn and adapt is really, really key to that. So it's been a huge part of the mindset shift that we are trying to adopt, but also then how that manifests in the processes we use and the tools.
Yeah, okay. We often hear that phrase, you know, in order to successfully deliver a digital customer experience, we have to have a digital mindset. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so I think to me, a digital mindset, as I said, is being customer focused. It's also being data led. So it's not just your gut feel of how you think a customer will respond. It's using data to really understand their needs and then building solutions in a collaborative and experimental way that serves those needs. And I think the reason why that's so key right now is that your customer needs are always changing. And we know that we will not succeed at all in this changing world unless we take that more adaptive, customer-centric approach. We'll just end up pushing out the wrong stuff to customers that they're just not interested in.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, that's quite a task in itself. And it strikes me that culturally you need more people to kind of be wrapped around that and believe that that's the right way forward as well. So how do you embed customer experience in that business overall culture?
Yeah, I mean, I think my first thought is it is just really hard to do. It's a journey that we are on, and we're definitely not finished. But I think quite key to that journey is taking a holistic approach. So we talk about five capability pillars that we're trying to embed. And I think they're all key to driving customers. So the first is about leadership. How do leaders role model thinking about customers, spending time with customers, getting insight about customers? That's really key. The next is around structure. And, historical telecoms company, always thinking about projects, spin up a team, deliver a piece of work, disappear. That's not customer centric, because the people with all the knowledge that they've just developed walk away and move on to the next thing. So product ownership is really key. You own your customer, you live and breathe their needs, their changing desires and meeting them. The third one is skills. So we've had to really invest in a huge amount of different skills. And I would say three in particular we've dialed up. So user-centered design skills across all of our product squads, agile coaching to enable those teams to work effectively, and then service design, so really holistic thinking front to back, end to end, about what is the user need we are meeting, and then how do we design a service to meet that. So there's been a real skills drive. Then we've looked at ways of working, so our tools and processes, and how we think. So we have a mission statement that I think really helps sow the seed in people's minds, which is be fearless, customer-obsessed creators who amplify growth. So I think putting customer at the heart of your mission statement and making it memorable is a good beginning. It's not the end. But I think if you're ever going to embed customer in the heart of an organization, you can't just go after one of those things. You have to go after them all.
Yeah, that's a nice mission statement. How did that come about? Was it a collaborative exercise?
Yeah, so I mean, the new digital unit in BT was established in April, and Harmeen Mita joined to establish it. She's the CDIO. And one of the first things she wanted to do is set out her stall for the unit we want to be. So she had gathered a squad from a representative from all the different units that were part of her team, and they worked on the sentiment, got feedback from different people, gathered, iterated, that's what we've come up with. So really exciting, and I think it sowed the seed of how we wanted to work, set out a vision.
Yeah, and I guess just in the heartbeat of the business every day, can you see that kind of aspiration come through tangibly in just the way that people are behaving and how they're showing up and contributing to, the change that you're delivering?
I think so. I guess we've been on a journey in consumer digital for 2 years, excuse me. and I've definitely seen that journey, and now suddenly the park we're playing on is so much larger. So I'm already seeing that mission statement phrase come up on calls. I love hearing that. I'm seeing people say, well, what does the customer think? Or how do we frame that problem differently? I'm definitely seeing that. But as soon as you take something to a larger platform, obviously it takes even longer to kind of embed, and it'll be a real journey for us. So we're just at the beginning in terms of the new unit.
Yeah. And I guess, the aspiration being having the custodian of customer in every meeting without, you having to necessarily kind of bang that drum and ask people to kind of remember to have that empty chair, the Jeff Bezos kind of phrase in every meeting for the customer. So what kind of actions have you taken cross-functionally just to try and make sure as you scale, as it gets bigger, so that you can feel that mission statement come through intentionally across those teams?
Yeah, so I mean, as I said, it's early days. So what we're starting to do is build product ownership into our organizational structure. I think that's really key. We also have a playbook that we use in consumer digital. And got a frog again. Oh, that's better. So we are taking that playbook and starting to expand it to more and more teams, and we'll roll it out iteratively, because it's grown over the last 2 years quite considerably, and we don't want to overwhelm people, but it's really, really focused on user-centered design, really customer-centric discovery processes, and helps people think about the customer day to day as they look at deciding the vision of their squad, the mission, what problems they're trying to solve, gather insights. It's all the tools around that. And because we've seen the success over the last couple of years, I'm confident that it's the right food, and we've got fertile ground. And yeah, what we want to do is embed agile coaching throughout the new structure to help bring it to life and be with teams day by day on it.
Okay. So you talked about the five pillars earlier. What are the practices and ways of working that you've applied to get that digital first approach?
So, I mean, there's lots of different things. It would be hard to touch on all of them, but we have had a big drive around what does it look like to build cross-functional teams, and how do you bring different skills together to solve customer problems? I think, like many, many telcos, historically we were organized in functions and, you know, work handed off between functions, and you know, project teams with a construct. So setting up those product teams, I think, has been really, really key for us, and then enabling them to use agile practices. I think actually COVID was quite good for us in accelerating some of the tool uses. So what we did was build quite a lot of different templates for the different processes and practices that we wanted squads to use. And a lot of those were using an online collaboration tool called Mural, which just skyrocketed in its use as we were all in lockdown. And it's really helped the squad come together around a problem in the same way as they would in a room. But I think because our squads were not all geographically in the same place, actually everybody being remote has meant everyone's in the same boat and everybody is able to come into that virtual room. So we have really seen adoption of our different templates, tools, practices, etc., like just really go through the roof through COVID. And I think that's accelerated all of embedding all of this customer thinking.
Yeah. Okay. You talked earlier about the user center design. Can you just bring that to life a bit more for the listeners as to, you know, what that means within BT and your organization?
Yeah, so it's actually something I would say Connor Ward, my colleague who's the design director, has really, really championed. You need a buzzer with Connor on a session if he doesn't manage to mention the word customer or user-centered thinking. He's been fab with it. And he brought in and has developed a whole toolkit around build, measure, learn, and this canvas that he uses. So it's kind of centered around, you know, should we, how might we, can they and will they? So it's asking those four customer-orientated questions as you think about what you need to do, and you're kind of iterating around that cycle all the time. So to bring that to life, it's kind of, should we as a business, you know, is there a customer need? What is the data telling us? What does user research show? Right, we literally have customers in our labs every day, and we're watching them interact with our journeys, our products, and understanding where they're struggling and where the opportunities are. And then given that we should, well, then how might we solve the problem that gets uncovered? And what are the different constraints that we need to work within? And, you know, what will be valuable to the business, viable to the business, feasible to build? And then we get going. So Connor's brought in loads of brilliant prototyping tools where we can very quickly produce something, put it in front of a customer and get feedback on it even before it's fully developed or able to be put live to everybody. And then it's kind of, you know, can they use it? You know, has it met the problem statement? And then given that, will they? So you've got to get it live and actually understand whether outside the lab a customer will actually engage with your product and love it. And then the whole cycle starts again. You know, we've got it live now, but you know that there's the next set of things to uncover. So those kind of four questions are really central to how we work, and the service designers and user research really, really support the squads in using them every day.
Fantastic. Those labs, how easy or difficult are they to set up and establish?
I don't think they're that hard to establish. To be honest, historically, we worked with an external agency, but it's something that Connor has really, really championed. So through COVID, we did it all remotely. So you could drop in on a customer session at any point. But we are moving to two new buildings in Birmingham and in central London, and both of them will have fantastic customer labs. So it won't be drop into a call, it'll be wander downstairs into a state-of-the-art room to see and interact with customers every day.
Please can I visit when that happens?
Yeah, of course you can.
Thank you. So the Miro board came up earlier. I think we've all become fans of that. And you've started to talk about some of the prototype kind of capabilities that your colleague has brought in. But any other key tools you think that are essential when on that journey of trying to achieve digital transformation?
So, I mean, digital transformation is such a broad topic. And when you think about it, you know, yes, there are tools, yes, there's practices, but the biggest thing you've got to win is hearts and minds. And I think a tool that we have used is using communication to drive transformation. A lot of people communicate transformation, so they'll talk about the journey that they're on, and they'll send out emails and run sessions around the journey, but actually communication events themselves can be part of the journey and drive the change. So one of the things we have done is we set up DigiCon and Digital Unscripted, and they're big digital events that we invite not just our own teams but broader stakeholders across the company to. And they've really energized digital transformation, the topics that are really important to us. And then we've also set up something called DigiLife Guilds. So they are teams of people basically who put their hand up, self-organize, and say they've got a passion and a mission and a problem statement they want to solve. So it might be, how do we recognize people, or how do we look after people's well-being, or how do we drive diversity and inclusion in the workplace? Lots and lots of really different things, and people have dedicated time within their working week to come to the Guild to drive causes. And actually, the DigiLife Guilds have run communication events for us. So Digital Unscripted is broadly by the people for the people, and it has an excellent energy to it. And I think that has driven a huge culture change for us. So if you turn up to one of our events now, it's definitely not one person on a platform with a whole bunch of slides droning on for 2 hours at all. It's me on a rooftop playing ways of working table tennis while receiving quick fire questions, which I have to say is outside of my comfort zone. But, you know, it's a hell of a lot more fun. So I think, yeah, using communications and using just empowering colleagues to really drive change is really, really powerful.
That is just such a great way of doing that, I've got to say. It just makes it more memorable as well.
Yeah,
more engaging. I think everyone's kind of over the death by PowerPoint slideware way of kind of transforming. Absolutely with you on that. So it feels like within, again, going back to the heritage of the organisation and the journey that you've been on, it kind of feels like the telco capabilities now, you've had to become much more IT orientated almost as well within that kind of digital and customer transformation that you're working on. So how are you approaching that aspect of the changes?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's two big things that we are dialing up. So how do we move away from legacy systems and build modularized platforms that we can really leverage for customer growth? And the second is with data, how do we really, really make use of the data that we've got? How do we mine it and use it to create personalized experiences and you know, obviously, you know, I think this is almost even harder than mindset change, isn't it? Like, you know, it's a big IT transformation as well as it being everything else we've been talking about. So we are in the process of decoupling and, you know, completely changing how fast our front end teams are able to develop and the technologies that we use and rapidly updating things. So that those are absolutely key. And yeah, it's a journey that we're on. And I think there's a lot of under the hood work there to be done before you fully see everything in terms of customer benefit. But yeah, we have been able to do some really exciting things with the technology that we're investing in.
So just reflecting on your customers, you know, you've got the opportunity, as you said earlier, to actually talk to the customers, meet them within the lab environment. What feedback have you had from them around the change and the transformation that BT have been on? Because your customer centricity is clear in everything you've said, you know, in our chat today. But what are the customers saying to you about, you know, getting involved and what they're noticing as well?
Yeah, I mean, so obviously customers are always really, really vocal and really honest with us. And I think they enjoy being part of the process and the way that we work together. We've had some real wins in the last few months around hugely simplifying journeys and customers just like, you know, the number of steps that you've got in a journey being radically reduced, the time it takes you to fulfill that being reduced, and customers no longer needing to call a contact center, which is pretty inconvenient for them. So those have been good wins. There's also stuff in the pipeline that is a bit more hush hush and I can't share, but customers are on a journey with us to develop some really exciting new propositions, and yeah, we're definitely doing it in partnership as opposed to building it and chucking it over and hoping for the best. So yeah,
good. That's exciting. And are you finding the benefit of getting the customer involved in that, and that co-creation is allowing you to get those products to market faster?
Yeah, faster and more successfully. So, you know, our NPS is lifting on all of our brands, and yeah, the launches that we have of new products and propositions are really well received, and they're you know, outstrip expectations often, and I think the next kind of 12 months ish is gonna be some really exciting times as well.
So we've talked a little bit about skills and capabilities earlier on, you know, talked about agile coaches, product leads, etc. But what would you say are, you know, what's the full suite of skills and capabilities that you've had to pivot in your talent pipeline in order to support this customer-centric kind of digital transformation?
Yeah, I mean, it has been a huge pivot. So, you know, we never really had product ownership before. So creating that capability and what does it mean to do world-class product, Scrum Masters, Agile Coaches, Service Designers, Data Analysts. So it's been huge. So we've had a real hybrid approach. So we have recruited in a number of people with brilliant industry expertise and who've really bolstered and brought their experience to the team. But we've also decided to open it up to people who want to retrain and reskill. And actually it's been a really valuable journey for us. So in particular, we've reached out to people who have worked in contact centers or in our retail stores and given them the opportunity to cut their teeth into new digital skills. So in my team in particular, we established what we call the Evolve Program, and we're looking for people with the right mindset. So they don't need to have a background, they don't need to have proven track record in the specific skill expertise area. What they have to have is a growth mindset and care about customers. And if they've got those things, then we believe we can work with them. And so we're actually on round three or even four of the Evolve program now, taking several people at a time, kind of 20 plus across different disciplines, and over the course of 4 to 6 months, giving them all the coaching and the training that they need to be fully established in whatever role that is. And it's been absolutely fantastic to see people do that, you know, from a store, become a Scrum Master. It's really rewarding for us. It's really rewarding for them. It's also a sustainable and cost-effective way of building the skills that we need, because, you know, these are really sought-after skills in the market, and therefore expensive. I think it's just really important to give our people the opportunity to grow and develop. So it's been really good for colleagues.
It's really positive on the kind of employee satisfaction side of things as well, and, you know, kind of nurturing the heritage and the experience that you've got, but actually just taking the whole organization on that kind of digital transformation journey.
Totally. And I mean, who better to develop digital journeys and products than the people who have been selling to customers, serving them, experiencing their pain points day in, day out? They have the voice of the customer completely in their heads. They've answered calls and, you know, received customers into stores, and that wealth of knowledge, it far outstrips however many years you've, you know, been a Scrum Master. I think it's a real positive.
Yeah, and I guess it's using those custodians of customer, the ones that Heartland, as you say, have had the engagement. They understand the pain points. They understand where the friction has come in. They understand kind of much more about behaviours and attitudes of customers. So, you know, can really help fast forward. And I suppose complement that with these labs that you've set up as well. Then, you know, as you said earlier, there's no guesswork. There's no just throwing something out to market and hoping for the best. Actually, this is, you know, you're really informed, you know, and intentional about, you know, what you're creating. So we've talked about culture, tools, ways of working, required and developed skills. Can you kind of bring to life some more examples about, you know, how all of this has helped individual customers and their experience? You know, you referenced there being positive shifts in NPS across all of the products and brand. But can you bring to life some real life examples that have, you know, been memorable to you about why you've done it? You know, the benefit, the bit that's, you know, hearts and minds, as you said earlier, as to makes you feel good about the change and the journey that you've been on.
There's one that really stands out. It's actually a contact center example, but it was a really powerful one about an individual who called up. They had a recording on their BT Sport be deleted, and it was a really personal match because I think one of their kids had been a mascot or something, and then that the lady's partner had passed away really unexpectedly, and so there was just real poignancy attached to this match and this recording. And one of our advisors was able to navigate through the business complexity and get a recording for this individual. And we talk about the values of personal, simple and brilliant all the time through the company, and you can really see that personal touch come out with the way that individual just made sure they made it their mission to solve that customer's problem. And, you know, that's obviously a really poignant and an emotional example. On the other end of the spectrum, but perhaps less emotional but still just as powerful, I think, is, you know, through lockdown when stores were closed and contact centres couldn't be fully staffed in buildings, we were able to get thousands, literally, of advisors able to work from home. And that is huge for the business. It's huge for our customer base. It it's huge for our colleagues who, you know, don't want to be furloughed. They want to be able to work, and you know, it can't be underestimated how hard it is to shift that kind of volume of people overnight. And you know, we created capabilities online during that time as well that you know, totally meant people weren't reliant on, you know, call centers or stores in the same way, which you know, at that time, like, you know, that was critical to people, you know, conversations around their bill, whether they could afford to pay, you know, being able to do that kind of piece online / remotely, online chats, all of that kind of stuff. It's, you know, these examples, big or small, emotional or less emotional, like, they matter to the individual that you fixed it for. And yeah, I can really see that coming through more and more and more through the company.
Thank you for sharing that story. Got me then. do you think, I mean, obviously with COVID, digitalization has had to accelerate. And having run operation teams myself, I mean, you just have to find a way. But do you think the work that you guys and the journey that you've been on kind of set out the right foundation so that when you were in that situation, you were able to pivot quite easily? Or actually, was it more challenging than that? And, you know, there's quite a lot of intentional change that you had to accelerate yourselves in order to be successful with what you just described.
I think it was both. You know, I definitely think there were ways of working that meant it was easier for us to respond to what was happening, and there were things that we had to, you know, really, really push through to succeed at. And I think we've put a stake in the ground now since then. I think now the question is, how do you maintain that and keep growing in those practices, making them real every day across the whole company? That's a, you know, that is a huge task. And yeah, keep being adaptive. You know, that if you're not adaptive, that is the death of a business. And you know, I think COVID has taught us that, hasn't it?
Definitely. And I guess it's moving away from thinking change, you know, just change for change's sake. Actually, adaptive is exactly right. It's just keep being the best version of yourselves, keep talking to your customer, keep working with the customer, and, you know, allowing those two things to come together, really, for the good of the greater the business, but also, you know, just for the brand to stay alive. What are the key challenges you think that we will face? You know, we've talked about COVID, we've talked about kind of, you know, making yourself adaptable. What would you say are the key challenges that we'll face in the next 18 months with regards to digital transformation? You said earlier the needs of the customer is growing and ever changing. So, you know, I know that's part of it, but, you know, what are the things that you see are the challenges ahead?
Well, I mean, we're obviously about to start to return to offices and probably work differently with much more hybrid working, you know, some people in the room, some people not in the room. And how do you make effective teams work through that? So I think you know, that's a really important thing for us to tackle, do it in a way that cares about people's well-being, cares about, you know, equal career progression and not presenteeism. So I think that is a big challenge for us. I also think that, you know, if you step back and, you know, if I reflect personally, you know, COVID has meant personally changing, and therefore you can have kind of change fatigue, and you can feel like, oh, I just need breathing space after all of this. And yes, there is that, but change is here to stay, and recognizing the need to constantly adapt, transition again and again and again, build it into your working practice, respond to customers' needs, all of that is really key. So I think I think we've got a real challenge now to take care of people, to look after the good of what we've learned, and help people through kind of the aftermath, I guess. I think if you care about the customer, as a leader, you also need to care about your colleagues, like, because essentially they're the customer of your leadership. And that for me is something that's really dear to my heart, that yes, we lead for business success, yes, we lead for customers, but we also lead to really help those who work alongside us thrive. And it's going to be a journey over the next few months.
That's a really important message, Amy, because, you know, we have all been through a lot. So I love that. And ultimately, those people, your colleagues, serve the customer, as well. And you just got to look after all of those customers. I agree. So looking into the future, I guess a bit of a prediction here, but how do you think the demands of the customer will change? And, you know, what do you see are the next kind of, if you were to predict, are the next kind of pivots and adaptions that, you know, you and BT will need to kind of make, really, to adapt to these changing needs?
Yeah, I mean, I would sum it up with the word more. You know, I think customers, they want more. They want more yesterday. It needs to be immediate. Their expectation is growing. They want you to know who they are and serve them as a customer of one, not a cohort of 10,000, 10 million. So there's just such a need to personalize. There's going to be more proliferation of devices, more integrated immersive experiences, more kind of platform interactions, working with multiple partners, and people kind of aren't going to see a segregation of company anymore. I don't think it's just all sorts of services that you can buy from all sorts of places, and everybody knows who you are. And it's just going to accelerate more and more. So I think investing in data and AI capabilities is going to be really key. All of what we've talked about on steroids, I think it's just, yeah, it, I think in a way, though, the most important thing is not can you predict what is going to be the next big thing for customers, but more can you turn yourself into the organization that it actually doesn't matter what the next big thing is, because you're ready to respond to that. I think the energy isn't in crystal balls. The energy is in the nuts and bolts of how you work day by day, the people you collaborate with, and how you build customer-centered thinking into your everyday practice, because that's how you shore yourself up for success, not the crystal ball.
And what's been, I guess, we talk about change fatigue. What's kept you going throughout all of the kind of journey that you've been on? Because, it would have been a lot of change continuously. But what's kept you motivated?
It's a good question. I think I've worked for BT for a long time. I started as a grad. So it's 13 years now in the business, and I have always seen something really special about this company and so much potential. And I've really felt that in the last 2 years, we've really started tapping into that and changing in the ways that we really needed to change that will allow us to capitalize on all the good stuff. And I think that keeps you going in terms of just being excited by the small wins every day. I'm personally really excited for our future. I think we have bags of potential, and we're on the right trajectory.
And what advice would you give to the listeners that might, not have the agile capability and delivery capabilities that, sits in your kind of ownership now? And whilst the role is new, you've been on that journey for several years. So certainly more mature than maybe some of the listeners, you know, today. What advice would you give them? What would be that kind of key advice around before they, you know, embark on that journey, or in order to prepare for a successful digital and customer transformation?
Yeah, so I mean, I would say you have to go all in and back it from the top. I think you know, my team just didn't exist 2 years ago. We literally built it from scratch. You know, I can remember when me and the team were basically 10 of us, I think, and now over 100. And investing in that capability to transform a company really bears fruit. And even if you start small, you can, you know, you can scale it and learn as you go. But it's a roller coaster ride. It's a really exciting one. And I think just be open to learning from everyone and everywhere on the journey. So chatting to other people, bringing in experts for fixed term for different things. And yeah, I think taking the chance to take your company on that journey, take your people on that journey. You'd be surprised how many people want to do something new. And yeah, you can definitely build something that didn't exist before from nothing with what you've, you know, with the kind of skills that are already in your company, if you invest in the right people in the right ways.
So Amy, kind of just reflecting back on ownership of customer within the organization. So obviously you talked about the way that the you know, the kind of the agility and the structure is, but I guess where does customer sit within the business?
Wow, it has to sit everywhere. If it doesn't sit everywhere, it sits nowhere. If it's on the side in one part of a company, then it's an afterthought, not central to everything you do. So no, there is no customer experience team. Everybody is the customer experience team.
And do you feel that top down, bottom up in your organization?
I do, yes. I think it's been the belief for a long time. And I think, you know, the types of conversations, the types of stuff that's discussed in exec boards, right the way down to how a squad operates, top to bottom. It's customer.
Amy, I've really enjoyed our chat this afternoon. Thank you so much for sharing so much of your experience at BT and of your colleagues as well. So I'm sure the listeners will take away lots of nuggets. So thank you for this afternoon.
Thanks, Emma. It's been great to join you.
Thanks, Amy.
Thanks for listening to the Change Society podcast. And if you want to know more about how SNS can help you and your organization, there are three main ways. Number one, subscribe to this podcast and also check out some of our cutting edge knowledge and ideas on the insights page of our website. Number two, if you're a senior leader or change agent, join one of our change communities to network and share with like-minded individuals, both online and off. And finally, if you need to solve a problem across business change, agility, delivery, or transformation, and don't want to go down the traditional consulting route, shoot us an email to hello@sullivanstanley.com.